I'm glad to be here tonight. Preach this morning at Central Church of Christ in Saraland. That's where we live. For those of you who don't know where Saraland is, it's not far from Drowning in Mobile. We're at exit 13, and I live off of exit 3. And if you go past exit nothing, you better know how to swim. I enjoy that part of the country. I appreciate the invitation to come up here. I was asked a couple of weeks ago, which is probably a good thing that I didn't have that long to think about it. I don't remember things very well. People at the congregation where I'm at, they understand that now. It's taken about a year and a half. But they start to say, will you, we'll just tell your wife. They've heard me enough. Tell my wife if you want it done and you want it remembered, if you would like for me to do it later. She'll tell me. But a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't give me long to forget. I'm kind of like the fella. There was an older man who was out working in his yard. His neighbor realized that they'd been going to take these memory courses, he and his wife, and he walked up to him while he was working out there, and he said, hey, how you doing? He said, I'm fine. He said, you've been taking those memory courses, right? And he said, yes, I have. And he said, well, how are they working for you? He said, oh, they're going great. They're spectacular. And he said, what's your instructor's name? And he went, what's the name of that flower? It's real pretty. It's red. It's got little thorns on it. Rose? Yeah, Rose, that's it. Hey, Rose, what's the name of our instructor? I'm almost to that point. We had a fellow this morning, new man in our congregation. I told him, I said, I'll remember your face for years to come, and I'm going to forget your name for months to come. So don't feel bad when I ask again, but again, I am grateful to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to see so many people I've known in the past, and appreciate the congregation here and allowing me to be here. I didn't know what exactly to speak about. I kind of got the format. If I understand, it's 5 o'clock at the service and then 6 o'clock with the young people. And I understood that at 6 o'clock I was supposed to preach again. I had received an email, and I must have read it wrong. I thought it said I was supposed to speak again about 30 minutes at 6 o'clock. And I had a friend of mine who, I don't want to embarrass him, so I'll just call his initials, Eric Gray, over here. And I called Eric last night, and he returned my call, and I said, Eric, I speak at 5, and he says, that's correct. And I said, what about at 6? I was told 25, 30 minutes. He said, no way. Please, 10 minutes max. Let's go. We got to eat. So, guys, in Eric's youth group, you can thank him that I didn't bring the sermon that I had prepared for 6. Tonight, I'd like for us to spend just a few moments speaking about Abraham, a man of great faith and leadership. You may be saying, young people, what's this got to do with us? We all can be leaders in our life. We all can go places and do things that display these characteristics of Abraham that will make us leaders in our homes, our schools, and our communities. There was a couple of men, one from the University of Utah and one from the University of Washington. They decided to do a study on the word and the concept of leadership because they said it's really hard to ascertain the meaning of what it is. So I'm going to read you a few things from their study as we begin. First of all, they say, although in the terms of leader and leadership, they're freely used in the literature as well as in everyday language, there's a great deal of misunderstanding of what we really mean by them. In what they call layman's language, it means where I can understand it, the leader is someone who is a little larger than life, one who draws people to them like a magnet by charisma. He is a person others want to follow, the one who commands their trust and respect as well as their loyalty. Most of the world's work, however, is done by leaders who are mundane, down to earth, like leaders in the home, congregation, and community. They go on to say that leadership is the exercise of authority and the making of decisions. So therefore, they say a leader is one who creates the most effective change. Now for our thoughts tonight, who is a leader among the people of God? One who encourages people to be and helps them to be what God wants them to be. Therefore, there's three things you need to remember. We're going to go over them again at the end of the lesson tonight. So when you see the slide with those three, you know I'm done. A leader of God's people is someone who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. I believe I've got them backwards on the screen, but it's knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. In the Bible, there are many examples of great leaders. But the one we're going to focus on this evening is God's great servant, God's great leader, Abraham. You can start in Genesis chapter 12 with the call out of Ur of the Chaldees and read all the way through chapter 25 and verse 8 where it says he was being gathered together under his people after 175 years. And all of that there, all of that you'll read about has to do with God's great servant, God's great leader, Abraham. What makes it so that so much can be said about him in such a positive way? We can go to the New Testament and think about references that are made to him. Paul, when he's writing in Romans chapter 4, he's trying to explain to them the acute need they had for the gospel of Christ and that relying upon the law of Moses to bring about their own justification simply would not work. They needed the law of Christ. They needed his blood. And in doing so, in Romans chapter 4, he calls on Abraham again. He refers back to him and he says that he was faithful. He was faithful in the sight of God, even in two ways, even in uncircumcision and before the law had ever been given. He referred to Abraham as the father of the faithful. You can drop down to Galatians chapter 3 and you'll see again where they were having a problem, like others in the area, with Jewish teachers coming out of Jerusalem and saying that it's not enough to just be a Christian. You need to be circumcised. You need to basically become a Jewish proselyte, which was false doctrine again. And here we can see the Galatian writer referring to Abraham in chapter 3, starting at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, that know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. We can notice a couple of things from that. Verse 6, we can all be children of Abraham. When we go to verse 8, we need to understand, first of all, what gospel is. Just the basic definition of gospel that we've all heard. Gospel means good news. Somebody's awake. Gospel means good news. What's the good news? Well, in verse 8, he says, in these shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That's good news. That's good news to Abraham and all those to follow for the rest of the world. What we want to do tonight is take a look at what made Abraham such a great leader among the people of God. There's my button. I'm not used to doing this at home. This is high tech. I'll give my notes to the fella in the back and he mashes the button and every once in a while I turn around to see if he's with me. So I'm not used to mashing the button. This is too much for me to have to handle. I can't comprehend everything. If you see me looking down, it's because I got to make sure I'm hitting the button at the right spot. Remember, a leader is one who knows the way, he goes the way, and he shows the way. So tonight we're going to look at two parts of Abraham's life. First of all, the components of his character that made him so that so much can be said about him throughout Scripture, and the leadership lessons that we can take, the living lessons that we can take in his life and apply them to our own leadership. First of all, I'd like to suggest to you that Abraham had a firm faith in God. Romans chapter 4, you see verses 20 through 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. What's he talking about? Well, Abraham, about this time, is around 100 years old. He has a few visitors come to him. He says, hey, Abraham. What? You're going to have a child. You and your wife going to have a child. I'm going to be 37 years old this year. If somebody came to me and said, you're going to have another one at 37, I don't know what I would do. Eddie Smith is here. He always referred to my dad as Father Abraham. There were six of us. I told them they had to keep going until they got one right, and they stopped with me. But I've got three. Paul's the first one, by the way. He took a long time. But when we sit here and we think about it, they come and they say, you're going to have a baby. You and your wife are going to have a baby. How would you have reacted? Sarah's in the tent, and she's making some food here, and she overhears this. And, of course, Sarah says, well, that's logical. No. Sarah wasn't a spring chicken herself. She began to laugh, and when she was accused of it later, she denied it. I didn't laugh, no. But later on, when they had that child, what did they name it? Isaac. Isaac, a definition for his name is laughter. Every time they called that child, they could remember Isaac, the child of laughter. It takes a firm faith to believe that God is able to deliver on this promise that at 100 years old, you and your wife will bear another child. Abraham had a firm faith in God. We also look to Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. We get to that passage and it says, God did tempt, meaning to test or to prove Abraham. Go offer Isaac on Mount Moriah. It took 3 days to get there. That's plenty of time to think about what's going on. Can you imagine what's going through Abraham's mind? You know, this just doesn't make any sense. This just doesn't make any sense to me. You promised me a son. You promised me a son with my, and now you're telling me to offer him up. In fact, you remember where Sarah thought that maybe God needed a little bit of help fulfilling his promise. And she said, listen, Abraham, take Hagar, my handmaid. Have a child with her. And they did. You remember Abraham held that child up and said, Oh, that Ishmael might stand before thee. And God said, that's not what I meant. When I said you and your wife will have a child, I meant you and your wife will have a child. You will bear this child. And now Abraham's thinking, God, you fulfilled your promise. You promised that through my seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. And now you're telling me to offer him. I just can't make sense of it. Let's read on a little further. Starting at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. This wasn't Isaac's first trip. Isaac understood what it was to go and worship God. He says, I see we have the wood. We have everything that's needed. We're ready to go and offer a sacrifice to God. There's only one thing I don't see, Father. A sacrifice. Where is it? Abraham says, God will provide. Think with me right here. At this point in time, as Abraham tells the young men to wait here, the lad and I will go yonder to worship. He prepares the altar. The wood is ready. He binds his son, places him upon the altar. Do you think he might have been crying about this point? Fathers, what would your reaction be? What would your reaction be right here? When you're looking down at your son, into his eyes, and knowing what you're fixing to do. He laid him on that altar. He took the knife. He raised it above his head. And he was prepared to do what God said do. That is incredible. Can you think of a better illustration, a better demonstration of faith anywhere than the faith that Abraham has placed in God at this point when he said, Go offer your son. How many of us would have tried to excuse ourselves from this part of worship to God? Think about it. We try to excuse ourselves from Wednesday night Bible study because of a ball game. How many of us would have tried to excuse ourselves from this part of worship when he says, Go and offer your son on Mount Moriah? To me, it's just incredible to picture that scene. You can talk about faith in so many ways. You can talk about faith all you want. But faith is displayed by Abraham, the faith in God that he displayed is such a total and complete trust in God that no matter what he says, no matter if it makes sense to me or not, no matter if Abraham in those 3 days could come to a realization what is going to happen, he's still going to do it. Because God said so. So the first thing that I believe made Abraham a great leader. It's his firm faith in God. Second, you can see his obedient heart. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. The heirs with him of the same promise, For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Guys, there are three little words that I want you to go home and try with your wife tonight. You're going to go over like magic. You listen to me. Three magic words. Eric, do you know those three little words that all women love to hear? You don't. Boy, you ain't been married very long, have you? What are those three, guys, what are the three little words that we know we can always tell our wives? I am sorry. That's a good one. I had one man one time say, cut the grass. What are the three magic words? We are moving. Go home tonight and try that, guys. We are moving. All right, where are we going to go? The next three words, I don't know. The next three words she has are, are you crazy? Abraham, move. Go to a place and I'm going to show you. Okay. You don't see where you are. You don't see where you said, why? He got up and he left. This also lends to his leadership that we'll talk about in just a little while in his family. You don't see where there's family disputes. I'm not leaving my home. This is where I was born and raised. My mama lives down the road. God said move. So Abraham moved. And he and his family and all his herdsmen went together. This is a man who truly believed and was willing to obey God. Third, he had a personal knowledge of God. James chapter 2, starting verse 23. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You like compliments? David, you like compliments? People come out Sundays and say, it was a great lesson. You like that, don't you? I like it when people come out and they say, I'm not asking for comments. I'm just saying, preachers like that. There's enough preachers in this audience, you know what I'm talking about, because you're always going to remember the one who comes out and says, wow, that wasn't very good. But we like compliments. All of us do. You like to hear when your hair looks good. I like that. You can give me that one. But can you imagine a greater compliment than was paid right here? He was called friend of God. We've all got friends. We've all got friends who we're very close to. But folks, when we develop the faith of Abraham, when we develop his way and his personality and his obedient heart, and we have that personal knowledge of God, we then can be counted as the friend of God. As we summarize this first section of our lesson, we remember that God's leaders... Well, there was that verse I told you I was behind. God's leaders must be men of firm faith, men with obedient hearts, and one who know who they believe in and also what they believe. Second part of our lesson tonight, we're going to deal with living lessons from the leadership of Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. Abraham developed and displayed characteristics that made him a leader in his own family. When we look at the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how then shall he take care of the church of God? What is the paradigm or what is the model for elderships today? Is it the business world? business is involved. I mean, we got to pay the light bills. We got to pay all these things. You like to have water. You like to have money to be able to help people. There are finances, there are business decisions that are involved. But when we look to Scripture, the model is not the business world as we know it today. The Lord gives us two models in regards to the eldership: the shepherd and the sheep, and the family. The family is the training ground for those who want to learn to take care of the church of God. Abraham was a leader in his family. He was a man who we can look to tonight and see how his family was obedient unto him. See how his family followed his example as he followed God's commands. And it should inspire us to do the same. There's another example where we see a lesson from Abraham when it has to do with Lot. There was a time when Abraham and his herdsmen, they were having a problem with Lot and his herdsmen. You know, can you imagine this? We're not talking about people with just a couple of things. We're talking about great wealth. We're talking about people, you know, hey, your sheep touch my sheep, your cows are in my, you know, all these different things. Can you imagine the little petty fights going on? How did Abraham handle the pettiness? How did Abraham handle the problems as they arose between his herdsmen and Lot and his herdsmen? He made one of the most beautiful statements that I believe we can ever make. We are brethren. We are brethren. He says, you look around us. The Canaanite, the Perizzite, they surround us. Our enemy, the avowed enemy of our families, of our people, are all around us. And we are brethren. This should not be the case within our own midst. Folks, we've got to understand something today. We've got a culture that is an avowed enemy of God. It is an avowed enemy of Christianity and the morals which we stand upon. They hate the Lord's cause. They despise that which we teach. And they despise the way we live. Folks, when we are in here, it's easy to live the way we should. We're within four walls. We look around us. You can look around 100, 150 other young people trying to live the same way. It's encouraging. You go back tonight and you think about the wonderful time you had. And then comes Monday. And we're back out with the Canaanite and the Perizzite. Folks, there should not be strife within our ranks. Because as Abraham said, we are brethren. Back to Abraham. He says, look, Lot, let's not have this strife. We're supposed to know how to get along. We're supposed to know better than this. I tell you what, Lot, you look around all the land and you take what you want and I'll take whatever's left. You just decide, you're going this way or you're going that way. Lot looked towards the well-watered valleys of the Jordan and it says he saw it. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now remember that phrase. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He said, I see that. That's a good looking place over there. I'm going to take my herds and my people. We're going to live over there. We're going to have the high life. Sorry, Uncle. You got the other way. What if somebody had told Lot, look here. That's an Alabama phrase. Look here. That's the worst mistake you could ever make. Your wife's going to get real salty over this before it's all over. You need to think twice. Think he'd have changed his mind? No. He had his heart and his mind set. The Bible tells us. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, they're going to be together. He looked down there and he saw what he wanted. Great leaders among God's people and young people, you can be great leaders among God's people in your schools, in your communities, in your homes, in your youth groups. And great leaders among God's people are not so insecure with other people around them that they're not willing to take what's left. They're not willing to let the petty things go by the wayside. And Abraham was a great leader. The final thing we'll talk about tonight is Abraham was concerned about people in the potential straits of life. God informs Abraham of the impending doom of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Abraham hates to see that happen. You remember what we said about Lot earlier? Said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And by this time, where's Lot? He's in the city. His family is wrapped up in the midst of it all. Abraham's pleading with him. Abraham is there. He's concerned. He's pleading with God on their behalf. Will you spare it for 50 righteous souls? God says, I'll spare it for 50. There wasn't 50 to be found. Will you spare it for 45 righteous souls? I'll spare it for 45. There wasn't 45 to be found. Will you spare it for 40? I'll do it for 40. There wasn't 40 to be found. Will you do it for 30? I'll do it for 30. There wasn't 30 to be found. Will you do it for 20? I'll do it for 20. There wasn't 20 to be found. Finally, will you do it for 10? I'll do it for 10. Is that asking too much? Sparing these cities for 10 righteous people? Do you think there was more than 10 people with Lot when they divided ways? And now there's not 10 righteous people to be found. What does that tell us as leaders in our home, men, about where we pitch our tent and how we lead our family? It can be a dangerous move. Because Abraham's pleading for these people's lives. They don't even know it, but he's the best friend they could possibly have. For 10 righteous souls, will you spare it? Yes, I will for 10. And there weren't 10 to be found. Abraham's trying to rescue them. Great leaders today are like Abraham, trying to rescue a brother or a sister who are sometimes bent on their own destruction. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any do err from the truth, and one to convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. There's so much more that can be said about Abraham, this great servant and this great leader, and the way he lived his life for God. I've given you the condensed version. I told him tonight I would try to do so. I've done this lesson in as little as 30 minutes and as much as 2 days when I divided it. But tonight, I hope that in our brief time together, you've gained a deeper appreciation for Abraham. You've gained a better understanding of what true faith in God is. And you've decided that you're going to have a more obedient heart. A heart like Abraham's that says, God, you said it, I believe it, and I'll do it. And as I do it, I will be that leader you want me to be. Because remember what we said, a leader is one who knows the way. He goes the way and he shows the way. Tonight, will you lead the way for someone else? Will you be the example that others can follow? And both of you walk hand in hand through the pearly gates. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have an opportunity now to do so. If you're willing to repent of your past, the sins, turn away from the old man, confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for remission of those sins, you too can be a child of Christ, as was mentioned further down in Galatians chapter 3, the seed of Abraham. If you've done that, but yet you know that you've fallen away, it may be that your faith is lacking. It may be your heart is disobedient. Whatever the need is tonight, if we can help you in any way, we pray that you'll come as together we stand. And we see.